Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in black America, me, Sean Williams, and this is The Cutting Edge Show. Justin Jackson is co-hosting with me. This evening, my guest had to cancel, but the show must go on. I was doing some research, and I found an article from The Root that was supposed to be the truth about 40 acres and a mule. And we all have heard the story of 40 acres and a mule promised to former slaves. It's a staple of black history lessons, and it's the name of Spike Lee's film company. The promise was the first systemic attempt to provide a form of reparations to newly freed slaves, and it was astonishingly radical for its time. Proto-socialist in its implications. In fact, such a policy would be radical in any country today. The federal government's massive confiscation of private property, some 400,000 acres formerly owned by Confederate landowners, and its methodical redistribution to former black slaves. What most of us haven't heard is that the idea really was generated by black leaders themselves. Difficult to stress adequately how revolutionary this idea was. As the historian Eric Foner put it in his book, Reconstruction America, Unfinished Revolution, 1863 to 1877, here in coastal South Carolina and Georgia, the prospect beckoned of a transformation of Southern society more radical even than the end of slavery. Try to imagine how profoundly different the history of race relations in the United States would have been had this policy been implemented and enforced. Had the former slaves actually had access to the ownership of land, of property, if they had had a chance to be self-sufficient economically to build, accrue, and pass on wealth. After all, one of the principal promises of America was the possibility of average people being able to own land and all that such ownership entailed. As we know all too well, this promise was not to be realized for the overwhelmingly majority of the nation's former slaves, who numbered about 3.9 million. So what exactly was the promise? We have been taught in school that the source of the policy of 40 acres and a mule was Union General William T. Sherman's Special Field Order No. 15, issued on January 16, 1865. That account is half right. Sherman prescribed the 40 acres in that order, but not the mule. The mule would come later. But what many accounts have left out is the idea of massive land redistribution actually was the result of a discussion that Sherman and the Secretary of War, Edwin M. Stanton, held 4 days before Sherman issued the order with 20 leaders of the black community in Savannah, Georgia. When Sherman was headquartered following his famous March to the Sea, the meeting was unprecedented in American history. Today, we commonly use the phrase 40 acres and a mule, but few of us have read the order itself. Three of its parts are relevant here. Section 1 bears repeating in full. The islands from Charleston south, the abandoned rice fields along the rivers for 30 miles back from the sea, and the country bordering the St. Johns River, Florida, are reserved and set apart for the settlement of the Negro, now made free by the acts of war and the proclamation of the President of the United States. Section 2 specifies that these new communities, moreover, would be governed entirely by black people themselves. On the islands and in the settlements hereafter to be established, no white person whatsoever, unless military officers and soldiers detailed for duty, will be permitted to reside and the sole and exclusive management of affairs will be left to the freed people themselves. By the laws of war and the orders of the President of the United States, the Negro is free and must be dealt with as such. Finally, Section 3 specifies the allocation of land. Each family shall have a plot of not more than 40 acres of tillable ground, and when it borders on some water channel, and not more than 800 feet waterfront, in the possession of which land the military authorities will afford them protection until such time as they can protect themselves, so until Congress shall regulate their title. With this order, 400,000 acres of land, a strip of coastline stretching from Charleston, South Carolina, to the St. Johns River in Florida, including Georgia Sea Islands, and the mainland 30 miles in from the coast, as Barton Myers reports, would be redistributed to the newly freed slaves. The events of the order and its large implications are mind-boggling, actually. So who came up with the idea? Here's how this radical proposal, which must have completely blown the minds of the rebel Confederates, actually came about. The abolitionists, Charles Sumner and Thaddeus Stevens and other radical Republicans had been actively advocating land redistribution to break the back of Southern slaveholders' power, as Myers observed. But Sherman's plan only took shape after the meeting that he and Stanton held with those black ministers at 8 p.m. January 12th on the second floor of Charles Green's mansion on Savannah-Macon Street. In the broadest strokes, 40 acres and a mule was their idea. Stanton, aware of the great historical significance of the meeting, presented Henry Ward Beecher, Harriet Beecher Stowe's famous brother, a verbatim transcript of the discussion, which Beecher read to his congregation in New York's Plymouth Church, and which the New York Daily Tribune printed in full in its February 13, 1865 edition. Stanton told Beecher that for the first time in the history of this nation, the representatives of the government have gone to these poor, debased people to ask them what they wanted for themselves. Stanton had suggested to Sherman that they gather the leaders of the local Negro community and ask them something no one else had apparently thought to ask. What do you want for your people following the war? And what they wanted astonishes us even today. Who are those 20 thoughtful leaders who established such foresight? They were all ministers, mostly Baptists and Methodists. Most curious of all to me is that 11 of the 20 had been born free in slave states, of which 10 had lived as free men in the Confederacy during the course of the Civil War. The other one, a man named James Lynch, who was born free in Maryland, a slave state, and had only moved to the South 2 years before. The other 9 ministers had been slaves in the South who became contraband and hence free only because of the Emancipation Proclamation when Union forces liberated them. Their chosen leader and spokesperson was a Baptist minister named Garrison Frazier, age 67, who had been born in Granville, North Carolina, and was a slave until 1857 when he purchased freedom for himself and his wife for $1,000 in gold and silver. As the New York Daily Tribune reported, Reverend Frazier had been in the ministry for 35 years, and it was he who bore the responsibility for answering the 12 questions that Sherman and Stanton put to the group. The stakes for the future of the Negro people were high, and Frazier and his brothers did not disappoint. What did they tell Sherman and Stanton that the Negro most wanted? Land. The way we can best take care of ourselves, Reverend Frazier began his answer to the crucial third question, is to have land and turn it and till it by our own labor, and we can soon maintain ourselves and have something to spare. We want to be placed on land until we are able to buy it and make it our own. And when asked next where the free slaves would rather live, whether scattered among the whites or in colonies by themselves, without missing a beat, Brother Frazier, in the transcript, calls him, replied, I would prefer to live by ourselves, for there is a prejudice against us in the South that will take years to overcome. When polled individually around the table, all but one, James Lynch, 26, the man who had moved south from Boston, said that they agreed with Frazier 4 days later. Sherman issued Special Order Number 15, and President Lincoln approved it. So what became of the land that was promised? The response to the order was immediate. When the transcript of the meeting was reprinted in the black publication, Christian Recorder, an editorial note intoned that from this it was will be seen that the colored people down south are not so dumb as many suppose them to be. Reflecting North-South slave-free black class tension that continued well into the modern civil rights movement, the effects throughout the South was electric. As Eric Foner explains, the freemen hastened to take advantage of the order. Baptist minister Ulysses L. Houston, one of the groups that had met with Sherman, led 1,000 blacks to Skidaway Island, Georgia, where they established a self-governing community with Houston as the black governor. And by June, 400,000 freemen had settled on 400,000 acres of Sherman's land. By the way, Sherman later ordered that the army could lend the new settlers' mules, hence the phrase 40 acres and a mule. And what happened to the astonishingly visionary program, which would have fundamentally altered the course of American race relations? Andrew Johnson, Lincoln's successor and a sympathizer with the South, overturned the order in the fall of 1865. And a Barton Mayer sadly concludes, returned the land along the South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida coast to the planters who had originally owned it, to the very people who had declared war on the United States of America. So if you have any questions, or what are your thoughts on that? Because, you know, if black people would have been given land like they were promised and been able to rule themselves, maintain themselves, our outlook today would be very different. So you have a question or comment, dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. So, Justin, what do you think about that?
I think, you know, a lot of that was very interesting. I know on my end of things that I've heard, you know, when I was in school, we talked a little bit about, you know, having the 40 acres and the mule and where that came from and things of that nature. And one of the things that I felt that was, you know, very interesting is, like, you know, it didn't even just stop there. You know, it wasn't just the mule. It wasn't just the land. But, like, you know, Lincoln had major plans, you know, for the newly free slaves. And, you know, just to, you know, even piggyback off of that, and then we definitely want to get our caller 8051 in on this to hear their opinion and, you know, answer their question as well. But, like, one of the things, you know, we talked about in class was that one of the things that Lincoln wanted to do was also provide education. You know, it was like it's one thing to provide, you know, the slaves with a way to, you know, feed themselves and things of that nature, but it's a whole nother conversation when we're talking about educating them and, you know, teaching them financial literacy and how important that was and how important that is. So, I mean, to me, it's like, you know, not just what happened to it. I mean, Andrew Johnson obviously, you know, repealed that, but it's just like, you know, when we look at the atrocities that slavery brought, you know, what are we doing to rectify such things? You know, like, is it too late? You know, want to get 8051 in. 8051, you're on the air. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a question, I think. Okay. What you read, is there any validity in that today?
Validity into what?
I mean,
what she read.
That was. Oh yes, I mean that's actually it did happen. They do have the paperwork, but Andrew Johnson repealed it.
Okay,
yeah,
so
that's
that
means 1865. Yes,
it's no longer true that we can get what they offered to us before.
Well, I mean, if you know, the
if
the Congress passed the bill and the president signs it.
Well, is it up for a vote or something, or is the bill in Congress now?
Well, no. Biden, to my understanding, Biden said that he opposed reparation.
He opposed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, he said he didn't do it, so he doesn't feel that he should be paying for it.
It's like a lot of white people. You know, I hear that all the time. I actually had a friend of mine.
Well,
we sit down and have these conversations, and one of the things we talked about was, you know, reparations and, you know, should reparations be given and things of that nature, and just talking about, you know, how much reparation should be given and things of that nature. Like I told this friend, you know, in the millions, and he was like, well, that's just crazy. And I was like, well, not really. If you add up, you know, 400 years of unpaid labor and then tax on interest on top of that, and then don't forget about the late fees that you guys always talking about us on, you know, like how much you think it should be, you know. I mean, like, that's a strong viewpoint that it, like, it was so long ago. And what a lot of people don't realize is slavery, you know, like, these things that we're talking about, not even just slavery, you know, but when you talk about Jim Crow, Black Code, redlining, and all these things, this wasn't, you know, that long ago. This was very recent, you know, like, people want us to think that this is, you know, ancient history. You know, another friend of mine was talking about his father and how his father went to a segregated school. His father, you know, 22 years before he was born. I mean, he said like 15 years before that, his father was in a segregated school. So, I mean, like, you know, like people want to make this seem like this was just so far and so long ago. But, I mean, this is still very relatively recent. Hey, 0-5-1, did you have an additional comment, a question? I know I kind of took over a little bit there. I didn't mean to cut you off.
You said that Joe Biden opposes it. Well,
yeah,
I think
he's on video.
We need to let Joe Biden know he's in for one term, that he will not get our vote anymore.
He was saying that before he got in. There was video circulating with him saying it before the vote, all that.
That don't bother me that he said that before he got in. We need to let him know that, because I still would have voted for him over voting for Trump, seeing that he got the ticket to run. That's something that I just cannot go back on. We had a choice, which was not really a choice. We voted for, at least I voted for Biden to get rid of Trump. It was two Trumps up there. I felt like he was a lesser of two evils. But it's not too late to work on him and let him know where we stand, and the same as what I do for Trump. Trump wasn't representing me, and neither was
Joe Biden said he represents the LGBTQ and the immigrant. That's who he feels that he needs to do things for, not black people. He just needed your vote.
Well, we got a so-called black vice president. She should be doing something about it. If she going to claim color just to get our votes, which she did, because I'm not sure she represents black people either. She just got over because she went to a black college and graduated from a black school. But, you know, everything.
So is that enough for black people to vote for her because she went to a black school, because she's half black?
No.
Yeah, I mean, because one thing I want to point out with Kamala Harris, she didn't talk, like, when she was talking about her blackness throughout the election, not one time did she bring up, you know, her Asian heritage. It wasn't until after they won the election that she started talking about her Asian heritage, you know, and that's one of the things I felt, you know, was very disrespectful. Not that she's claiming her Asian heritage, which I think she should be proud of who she is and where she comes from, but it's just the simple fact that it's like, you know, during an election, why wasn't you boasting so highly, you know, of your Asian heritage? Why is it now that it's after the election that, you know, that has to be talked about?
I'll tell you why. There were not enough Asians to put her in the office compared to as black people. They are a very small percentage of the population of the United States. That's why she needed the vote, just like Joe Biden did.
Okay, my question is to this, to anybody listening, and you can answer also.
And we got another caller. We got another caller to come in too.
Okay, put the callers through first.
We got 4932.
Hey, it's the Black Booth. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. How are you doing today?
All right. I just want to set the record straight on things. As far as Kamala Harris, she proclaimed Asian first, especially when she was out in California. And then once Joe Biden proclaimed her as a running mate, she did move over to actually most of the Democratic shrills are the ones who pushed the black girl magic thing, and she rolled with it, you know, because they were like, okay, this is the only way we know to get her in. Biden and Harris both said this is more of what they were saying. They were saying for them to, when it came to reparations, for them to, they said, are you wanting for you? As a matter of fact, I'm gonna do hers. For me to give somebody, some one person or one group, anything? No. See, I'm supposed to work for everybody. Yet and still, and he said the same thing, and there's even more tape of, like Michonne was saying, of him, you know, blasting off his racism. But they both said the same thing, that they wouldn't do for any one group. And here it is, the fake Asian thing, and they put a particular law out for a particular group, which is Asian, and which they're not getting killed near as much. Like the caller was saying, for one, they are a small group. So therefore, she had to play along to get along in order for her to, you know, get all the votes. I believe the media, which is racist as well, and of course, have played us whenever they put these two together. We have a movement right now where we along with people like Ice Cube, are holding our vote and deciding that, because we make sure, when it comes to Democrats, the black vote is 80%. So we're the ones that move the needle, and they want to say that everybody else does. Asians are typically Republican. Most Hispanics and other groups are Republican. You get some that goes Democrat, but for Democrats to win, they need our vote. So they'll tell us anything in order for them to win. just wanted to put that out there.
Hello? Did you have any more questions or comments?
Did you? Oh, for myself?
Yep.
Now you said something about Johnson. Were you referring to whenever they were talking about reparations, as far as when Martin Luther King was out, was still alive?
No, I was talking about Andrew Johnson, the successor of Abraham Lincoln, who overturned all that black people were supposed to get.
Yes, yes. As well, here's another thing that goes along with that, as well as the Indians had, because truthfully, most Indians were black in America. You know, most black people were already here. I found out that the actual slave trade, only about 3% of the blacks here came over. Most of them were here already. There's proof of that.
Right.
That's it regardless.
Right, and there's also proof that white people got to become Indians for $5.
$5, yeah, the $5 Indians.
They got to pay a $5 fee, and they get to say that they were Native American or Indian.
Yes. That was even proven in the election or during the primary where I can't even think of the lady's name. She proclaimed she was Indian, and then she said, well, I found out I wasn't Indian. But it's a funny thing because there are so many people, white people, that got that $5 Indian thing, and they don't even realize they have no Indian in them at all.
Right.
And on top of that, they stole most of the reparations that were supposed to. They were like, they did the paper bag rule on the reparations with the Indians as well. So, and also, Justin, to add to that, you were saying millions. Actually, it's more like trillions that they owe us.
No, I 100% agree. When you talk about the sum of things, when I was saying millions, what I was referring to, and when he asked me what is a realistic number. What is a realistic number? You know, I was like, you know, I'm gonna be real with you. You know, anything short of a couple million is BS.
Right.
Anything short of that is just a
on top of that. On top of that, you know, a lot of the immigrant blacks that come here are against it because it's a push for a foundational, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't, you know, qualify,
right,
if you will. But hey, man, you need to go back to your country and fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to.
I want to make sure we get the other callers in as well. We got 4265. Want to make sure you get you in. Did you have a question, comment that you want to contribute to the topic? 4265. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
We called the last four. Yes.
Hi, yes. Geraldine Thomas here.
How are you doing, Geraldine?
Fine. Yourself?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's great. I think for myself, like, at what point do we stop believing in white people and what they're telling us? Like, they showed us time and time again. I think we need to push past and find other methods. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
We can't count on anything they promised us.
Mm-hmm.
Their word
You're right. But I mean, my only kind of argument to that is that, you know, we had Barack in the White House and we didn't see him pushing for it either.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So we got to, like, we've been on this road forever. With white
mm-hmm.
people, period. So we need to
mm-hmm.
do something
yep.
else. And I think it needs
you
to be drastic and extreme.
I do
no, know. I don't, but I know it's
have
not that.
Right. I agree.
I have some solutions, but I don't think I can say it over the air. But
you can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want.
But we need to build our own. We need our own army. We need our own everything. We cannot trust anything they say. I'm so sick of having conversations about white people. I'm so fucking sick. Excuse me. I'm sorry, but
no, you're fine.
You can say whatever you want.
I'm just I'm up to here with it. And it's you know we can't keep depending on them. It's time to like take our shit back.
Totally
really.
I think I always say about power, you know, and those who are in power. And those who are looking for, you know, equality, but not even just equality, but justice, you know, the powerful aren't going to give you power. They're not going to just give it away. That's something that has to be taken. When you look throughout history, human history, and all types of cultures and civilizations, whether you're looking in the white culture or you're looking in Asian culture, or you're looking in black culture, Hispanic, what you always see is that when those that are not powerful become many, they realize how powerful they really are, and they take it. You know, those who are the elitists, you know, they don't ever give that power to you. You know, like, you can sit there and march all you want to. You can make as many signs as you need. You can take all the needs that you want. They're not going to give it to you. You know, that's something that has to be taken.
Right.
And then I want to make sure I also bring in, you know, 1053. I believe you had a question or comment. 1053.
Yes, the comment that I was going to make, are you all aware of Evanston, Illinois, where they actually voted on reparations and they passed the law? Now, that's something that's current. Yeah, that's what you should be talking about. That's something that was done.
It's $25,000 over 10 years.
Well,
and they have to use it for housing.
Getting people aware of that. Making people aware of that.
Okay, but
I mean, where you can build from there, but they actually did it. They tried to do something.
No, I'm going
to
tell you what they did, because I'd have read all up on it, everything. They said $25,000. But it's not just to black people only, because I checked. They said $25,000 over a 10-year period. You get $25,000 for each year. You get they break it up in for 10 years.
No. The point I'm making is they are doing something towards that, and I would be interested in knowing more about. What is it that they're offering? You're talking about reparations all night, and you never mentioned that. Nobody never mentioned that.
She's talking about it right now, though, but she's talking about it right now. She's literally breaking out. You said you'll be – hold on. You just said that you were interested to see what that is, and she literally was just saying – hold on. Wait a minute. She was just breaking it down, and then you interrupted her. So if you're interested in hearing it, let her finish and explain it to you.
She made that after I made the comment. Up so far, over 30 minutes, nobody mentioned it.
I'm going to tell you why I didn't
mention
it. And I want
to know why it was not mentioned.
I thought, okay, I'm going to tell you why I didn't mention it.
Okay.
I didn't mention it because it's not only for black people only. Others can also get it.
Who else
they said
it for?
Anybody else. You didn't have,
I
read their stuff. It said that it's for, I asked, because you could ask. I'll put it in. Is it only for black people? They said no.
Well,
number one, if it's for black people, why should others be giving
it? Well, I'm asking you, who is it for if it's not for black people? Who did they say it was for?
What they said to me was, it's not only for black people. So that means other people.
And who are they? Who are they talking? Who are they?
Okay, the they that I'm talking about is from the mayor's office in Evanston, Illinois. This is what they put out, and it has a thing where you can ask questions and ideas, and they said it's over $25,000 broken up over 10 years. And it has to be used for housing. And
who are the recipients of that?
If it ain't just for black people, it's not reparations. And really, that's our only concern.
No. The point I'm making is that who are the people that it's for? If it's other than black people, name those people. Who are you talking about?
I'm going to tell you what they said to me. I said, is it for black people only? They said no. Other people, other than black people, can also access this. So therefore, it's not a reparation for black people.
Well, that's the question I would ask them. Who are the other people?
It's
not
black. Who are they? It's not just for black people.
It doesn't. Who doesn't matter? If it's not going to all black people, what difference does it make? You know, if somebody
is true,
it might. It might be
true. You got to realize something. You can't always accept the pennies, you know, and overlook the dollars. Like, because somebody want to throw some pennies, you know, and they're picking up dollars. That don't make any sense. You know what I mean by that?
It's a start.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what they want
you
to
get.
Wait a minute. When you say this is a start, you have to understand the type of people that we're talking to and their thought process. When you say that it is a start and their mindset, they will say, yo, this is a start. And then 5 years later, 10 years later, come back and say, oh, we already passed this. We already done this. This is done and over with. You know,
well,
you got to sit here
in the
look
mind
at
of other people, and I'm not trying to predict what's in the minds of other people.
I mean, think about that. If you're getting reparations and you're getting the money, how come we can't use it the way we want to use it? Why is it that when we're talking about uplifting the black community, when we're talking about trying to pay for the sins and try to make justice. Wait a minute. I'm not finished. When we're talking about bringing justice to the sins through actual money, why is it when we're talking about black people, there's always stipulations? Why is it that you have to use it like this? Or we're going to break this down like this. So you don't know what to do with it. So we're going to make sure we're going to put it in a program, and they're going to go and put it into schools and things of that nature. Why is it I can't just give me my money that I'm old and I'm due that my ancestors broke their back?
That's
they lives to do for me to be able to invest the way I see fit. Why come I got
to
sit here and duck and die?
They didn't do it
to
the Japanese.
They didn't do it to the Japanese and the Chinese.
You're not living in the real world. The real world.
What world am I living in?
Stipulations on everything they do.
After World War II, when they gave the Chinese and the Japanese reparations for putting them in the concentration camps here, right here in the United States, primarily over on the West Coast, they gave them money, a check, to do whatever it is that they wanted to. There was no stipulation. And that was just a couple – that was like, a generation and a half ago?
They didn't give it to others where other people can access it. They gave it to them. And when imitation Jews reparations for what Hitler did, what the hell does that have to do with us over here? And when that happened in Germany.
So when you sit here, I'm like, come on, where are you at? You're not living in reality, my brother.
Black people, you can go and access this money. They didn't tell black people made it where they could access
all,
the money that them Chinese
I don't, got. I don't think you're not going to get reparations anyway soon. I don't think.
I understand.
I think it's a dead horse right now.
I think it's always been a dead horse. We didn't believe we were going to get a black president until we got one. You know, you agree with that because it happened. And then once this happened as well, and we keep pushing for it,
I
got to be on the same team. You got to be on the same team.
Then I agree with that. No, but what I'm saying is that you're writing off whatever reparations. I don't really understand all the program that Mashaun is talking about. But the point I'm making is, what's the positive side? What actually went to the black that you can identify?
Positive about it, actually. Because they're going to give
$25,000
broken up over 10-year payments, but they're telling you what you got to do with it.
Right.
On top of that.
And okay. And then on top of that, okay, other people.
Well, that's
other
more
than
black, that's more than anybody else has said.
So how is it reparations for black people when a white person, a Mexican,
yes,
a Asian can access the money too? How is that reparations
right
for black people?
What if
what about $208? You're talking about $208 a month. You're talking about $208 a month. You're talking about $208 a month.
That's
what you're talking about. I made way more than $208 a month.
No,
I made way more than $208 a month.
I'm talking about reparations.
Right.
Whatever black is getting as reparations is more than what they're getting now.
You know what?
Because they're not getting nothing now, not a penny.
What do you mean? Let's address what he's talking about directly, right? Let's talk about this in a business mindset, okay? Let's just be realistic for a second, all right? In a business deal, okay, if I come to you and I say, hey, I'll give you $208 a month for the next 10 years, okay, but you only can use it on housing. And then you say, okay, great. And this and what goes on with that is that this is the payment of reparation for slavery. And you accept that, and then you come back like, well, when are we going to get reparations? And then they sit here and say, you already got it. You already took the deal. You already took the deal. You already took the deal. Ain't no renegotiating a contract. So, no, it doesn't make sense to take that.
I don't know about that. I don't look at that as a negotiation like you're looking at. I have a different view on that.
My view is
the same views they outlined for you in the beginning of the program. They were giving you ways about how you can do this and what they were expected.
Who was giving what? What are you talking about? You read
Michonne's statements when the show came up. They were giving a mule and 40 acres and all like that.
They wasn't giving anything.
Andrew Johnson
pulled all that back. Check this out. $25K over 10 years won't even get you 40 acres. They won't even get you 40 acres.
Well,
by the time you pay taxes and all the fees on that, you still won't even get it. You're still coming up short, and that's not even including that. That's not even including the labor that your ancestors done. That's not including the interest
that's
been stolen. That's not including the taxes that's going to be hit on you. Like, that's not including. I mean, you're talking about how come you're not grateful for pennies? That's what you're saying. How come you're not grateful for the scraps that's given? Why don't you just?
No,
that sounds to me like a house slave. We got a good mouse over here.
If you all have to go through Congress. See, that's why I say you're not realistic.
I'm not realistic.
Congress. You have
okay.
No, you're not realistic.
You know what?
You
hold
are
on,
not.
No,
hold on. Let him finish.
No.
Go ahead. I got to go through Congress. Go ahead. Keep going.
No, but I'm saying you have to go through Congress. Now, that was $1.9 trillion deal. Not one Republican signed on it to get you the stimulus. Not one.
Right.
Not
right.
One.
And it's got passed. And it got
now,
passed.
If you are dumb enough to think that you won't get a bill passed in this Congress or any
mm-hmm.
other Congress that I've studied, you got a battle that's more likely going to be lost.
Let's just be real. As a Democratic Party, let's just be real.
You're blowing smoke.
No, let's just be real. Let's be real.
$1.9 trillion where
right.
you can give everybody, $1,400. Kids going to get $33,000. Every child gets $3,000. Any child under six gets $3,600. Plus they're going to get $300 a month through that program. Up until
mm-hmm.
I think December, okay, a whole party didn't vote,
mm-hmm.
not one vote. So
mm-hmm.
when you talk about reparations, that's what you're going
mm-hmm.
up against.
All right,
so
let's talk about
pass.
That. Let's address that. Let's address.
So
let's
not,
address
it's
that.
Not going to pass.
Let's address
gotta,
that
you,
though.
You, let's,
Hold on,
I'm
wait a minute.
Address
let me
right
address
now.
That.
So let's talk about something that's realistic. You're
okay,
talking about
are you gonna let me talk about it? Are you gonna let me talk about it?
You don't have
to let me talk about it.
Realistic.
All right, so
okay,
if you sit here and talk about that, you talk about this bill that was passed, right? You're talking about a make this year this is clear. You're talking about a bill that actually passed. You're not talking about a bill that didn't pass. You're talking about what did pass. And guess what? It got passed without any Republican support. Zero. So what that means is that we have to, if we consider ourselves as a Democratic Party, hold Democrats accountable. If we sit here and say, hey, we want reparations, we want it now. You have control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency.
You're not going to get Democrats to support it. Black
then vote them out. Vote them out.
No,
hold
black,
them accountable.
Black,
vote them out.
The truth is black Democrats don't support it. The black caucus
vote
don't
them
support
out.
It. You're blowing smoke.
Vote them out.
You are blowing
vote
smoke.
Them
what
out.
You
no.
about
vote
that
them out.
At this time?
Vote
that's
them out.
That's unrealistic.
You are vote them out.
Caucus members do not support reparations.
I believe in possibilities. I believe in possibilities.
Vote them out. Vote them out.
Okay,
that's what that, you
out.
Want to talk about. Vote them out.
Okay, vote them out.
Yep. And then guess what?
But they can't. You have not voted them out.
What do you mean
out.
You can't? We're the voters.
I say you haven't. I say you haven't voted them out.
What?
So when you talk
you
about
don't
this.
Think you, right, no. Wait a minute. You said we haven't voted them out. That just be facts. That speaks facts. We look at the last election, not this one that just passed, but the year before this.
No,
we had Trump versus Clinton.
Issues.
Oh, no, wait a minute. No,
no,
no. You just said we did not do that. No. You just said we did
not
do that.
No.
You just said we did not do that. And what I'm going to sit here and show you history that
on
just happened. When you go back to.
No.
When you go back to the last election, black people said, hey, we do not want Hillary Clinton. We said we do not want her. And guess what happened? They used the super delegate to push her through anyways. I'm not finished. You just interrupted. You just talking. You ain't even listening. Black people said we did not want Hillary Clinton. They used super delegates to push her through and to bypass our vote anyways, thinking that they was going to shove it down our throat. And guess what? We didn't turn out in the polls. And then guess what happened? The Republicans won the House, the Senate, and the presidency. We did vote those people out. They did have to answer for that. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that I'm happy about Trump being presidency or his presidency at all. But what that was supposed to do was a signal to the Democratic Party that we weren't going to stand for that, that we will not stand for that, and that our voices will be heard. Now, do I think this is going to happen overnight? Absolutely not. Do I think this is going to happen over a year? Absolutely not. Do I think this is a work in progress and that we got to go and we got to put not only our money where our mouth is, we got to go and put our effort where our mouth is. We got to go and do the work. We got to go and do the grunt work. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, we should just give up. Hell no. They have politics as one. You know, if we got to fight and die for it, that's what we got to be prepared to do. And sit here and just say, oh, we're just going to be grateful for whatever NASA gives us. No, you got to stop looking at the pennies and start saying, no, I want dollars. I want a real seat at the table. You can't sit here and see the tree and miss the whole forest. You gotta think way bigger, man. Like, you sitting here saying, hey, you know, NASA did us great, so we should just be thankful and not worry about our freedom. No, we're supposed to get all that's collected, because if the shoe was on the other foot, they wouldn't flinch. They wouldn't even hesitate to do whatever it takes. They wouldn't hesitate at all.
And
they wouldn't hesitate
exactly
now 1 second.
Do with reparations too. That's exactly what
and,
they want to do.
And one of the things, hold on. One of the things I want to do is get 1111 in here. We got to get 1111 in here.
They're not going to give an inch.
The point 1111. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello.
Yes.
Well, I have a comment. Well, I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but I do know that not too long ago, a couple of years back, they gave the farmers a big lump of money for being farmers. They repaid them for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They gave you. Have you read about that?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Yeah, I was just want to make that point across.
Yeah, you preaching to the choir and talking to me. This brother on the other end sitting here saying it's impossible. And when they do it up every day, do it all the time.
Who are they? Who are they to raise the farmers at? Who are they?
The government.
The Congress.
The government did.
The government did.
The federal government did.
The federal government. They do it all the time.
Do you know what constitutes the federal government?
Do I know what?
Do you know what makes up what constitutes the government?
The government is made of three equal, supposed to be three equal branches, the legislative, executive,
right.
and the judicial
right.
branch.
That's
makes it up,
absolutely.
The government.
And you know what? And you have laws, and nothing's going to be done federally without a law.
Okay.
Well,
I feel like you're just talking. I mean, I don't think you have a point on this one. I mean, you're sitting here asking us, do we know?
No, the point I made was it was passed by the government, the House and the Senate passed the law and gave it to them. And that's what you have to do. If you want reparations, you're going to have to pass a law that will pass both the Senate and the House of Representatives and signed by a president. And if you can't get that done, you're not getting any reparations.
Exactly.
You act like you all talk like you don't understand that.
I literally just put it out.
You don't talk like you understand that.
It is totally impossible. Nothing is impossible.
Wait a minute. I want to check them.
What was going to win the Civil War? And
we got 8051. We got 8051.
Go ahead.
8051. Do you have a question or comment?
No, I agree with the caller.
I know you do.
Of course.
Did you have a question or comment that you wanted to throw in there? So far, I haven't seen anything out of the young people yet. And like you say, you can march all day and night. You ain't going to get nothing.
Right.
Right.
No, I'm not
going to have just going to have you surrounded by the police. That's all you're going
to
get.
I have to get on cold with this.
All right, we got 4932. We got a. I just want to make sure I'm getting everyone on the air. We do have about 8.5-9 minutes. 4932.
You had already talked to me, but first of all, the main thing is here is people have to understand that we have to get on code, and there is a way of fighting for that. The biggest thing is we have a big. We are the ones that vote in the Democratic Party. If we don't put our minds together and say, look, we're not going to vote you guys in without you taking care of us, our reparations, it won't happen. And I don't care who's in there. All of these jokers are racist, and none of them like
exactly.
us. But the biggest thing is that's one of the only ways they're going to listen to us besides us getting our own economic power. So we're going
exactly.
to have to put our foot down, and then once you don't sit up there and say, oh, well, the lesser of two evils, because they all evil, very evil.
They sure
This joker's out here. Biden is just as worse, if not, I mean, just as bad, if not worse than Trump. And now you sitting up there saying that you won't get our reparations is ridiculous.
Evidently, you're not aware of a stimulus.
No, evidently, you're not aware, brother. All you civil rights talking mugs are just talkers. Y'all ain't stopping your foot down and saying, no, we done with you Democrats because we done with them. They ain't never did our bidding.
But you,
I think we need to be done with politics.
You can't do that tired stuff about, oh, we will never get it, so we'll just vote them in. Well, hell no, you ain't going to get it if you keep voting them in. That's ignorant.
No, I didn't say, I'm saying this. This is what I'm making the point is, until you get black politicians on board with what you're talking about, it's not.
That's
black.
How you get them niggas on board. That's how you get them on board. When they realize they ain't going to live without our vote, they will.
But how can you do that? I heard some of y'all say you don't
They're
even
changing
vote.
The rules to the voting.
I believe that you
They're
should
changing
be
the rules
able
to, the voting.
To know, get to know this email, start emailing these Democrats and get to know them and talk about the situation. You can email them. Every time they come on the TV, they show you their email address where you can email them personally. Get to know who they are and talk about the situation to make a change.
I agree with that. But what the point I'm making is that
we've been talking a long time.
You have to understand the political system and how it works. And if you don't have any understanding of that, you're not going to get nothing done in this country. You have to understand the political system, because everything we do is geared up geared around politics. And the
I'm just like I don't see us getting anywhere with the politics. We've been on this road forever.
Well, because
and whether we
policy.
Believe, I'm not religious. I don't believe in any religion, but I used to be Muslim. Even if you take the Islam out of it, Elijah Muhammad showed black people what to do. But we too caught up trying to kiss up the white people. We too in love with them to get out their fucking systems, out their ways, out their schools, out their businesses, and
like
get our
that.
Own. That's the only solution. We're never going to get anywhere with these fucking beasts.
Well, what are you doing to bring that about? What are you doing?
What are you doing? You're the one doing a lot of stuff.
I can't find like-minded people. I can't find like, excuse me? I'm not willing to accept $208 a month.
That's what I'm doing. I'm hiring black people. That's what I'm doing. I'm starting community awareness. That's what I'm doing.
I patronize black businesses.
That's right. We developing ourselves economically all the day. But guess what? We ain't going
to
stop fighting for those damn
reparations. If we pull our dollars out of their businesses and their pockets, we can get somewhere.
You damn right.
That's what it's all about.
It's all about money.
Right. We got to take it back. That's the only way I see it.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I agree, but
and we need to copy the blueprint of the Nation of Islam without the religious side, but copy that blueprint. There
it
is. We had our own businesses, our own schools. He gave us the solution.
I don't like butt. They always
Brooks
end up on the back on the ass end.
Cool.
I don't like them butt.
They
always end on the ass end.
Well, anyway, at least we had a stimulate conversation here.
Yes.
We got a long road. That's what people got to understand. And we all got to get on code with this. We all got to get on code.
Economics.
Right.
And whoever's not for us, hey.
We need soldiers in every area. You know, some people need to fight for the politics, I guess, and some people need to be in the fields and all that. I'm a sister that's going to be in the field killing these motherfuckers. That's where I'm at with it.
Hey, ma'am.
I want to say blood. That's all I want is blood. That's the only thing they can pay. You know what I'm saying? That's what they need to do is just fucking, you know? I can't do it no more.
Yeah,
call me when we're ready to shed some blood.
Well, first of all, nigga type.
And them house niggas along the way. Going to go down with them.
Yeah. There you go.
There
you go. I like that.
Yes.
I got a place you can come in and kill at. Start at my job. Because they are so prejudiced and pitiful.
That's everywhere.
I want to get 6120. 6120, we got you on the air. You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I have a comment, two comments, actually. Number one, we can start off by saying the Democrat Party is a ripoff, and why people want no part of it. That's the first thing. But the real problem is this.
Stimulus check.
Yeah, relax on the stimulus check, Spotter.
That program, the Democrats going to eliminate 50% of poverty, of children poverty.
Let the caller talk.
Yeah. Okay.
Man.
Well, put that aside for now. But the real issue is that we have too many black politicians who are loyal to the Democrat Party as opposed to being loyal to Black America. So that's what I see as the main problem.
Hello.
That's true.
Hello.
Well, that's the same problem you have with the whole country.
We're not worried about the whole
country. They ain't gonna do
right.
Nothing.
Right. He's been coached up.
Give a damn about
problem.
The rest of them.
There's nothing unique about that problem.
We the only ones that's suffering. Everybody else does little suffering. We do a huge suffering.
Exactly.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that.
So we think we got to stop looking out for everybody else. Everybody else has this. I don't give a damn about everybody else. Only black people.
That's right.
That's my family.
Hey, I want to get 6598. We got you on the air, 6598. You have a question or comment?
I have a comment.
Okay.
Okay. I was just listening to everybody, and I'm like, I know we're coming to the agreement that we need a new party. So regardless of whether the Democrats are here, we need a new party, and black people need to do it. And we cannot sit up here and continue to allow white supremacy or anybody oppress anybody of color. And that's what we're dealing with here. As long as we have a mindset that we need, we are going to be subjugated by this white supremacy, we're fooling ourselves. And also at the same time, we also need to have an impact on this system. Because if we don't make an impact on this system and get rid of it, because we're fooling ourselves if we think that it's going to grant us immunity and be equal with white people. And that's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to get ahead for ourselves